Genesis 19, 12 to 17. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And when Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed.
Amen. Good morning and happy Sabbath, church. It is good to be in God's house on a day like this. What do you say? Yes, it is. It is. Can you believe it? We're at the end of 2019. It felt like we just started the year, doesn't it? And here we are, looking at 2020. Time is flying. If you asked me a few years ago, I didn't know that 2020 would come. I think Jesus would come before, you know? But what does that say? It means that we are this much closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. We are nearing home. We are nearing home. And this will be my final sermon for the year 2019 here at Elmira Church. It's my final sermon. I will not be here on the 28th. True, I'll be here on Tuesday night for Bible studies. But yeah, today is my final Sabbath for this year. It is good to be in God's house. It's good that we have God's word that we can study. And it's good to see each of your faces here today. Amen. I want to speak on the subject, escape for your life. Let's pray together. Our great God and Father, our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great helper and comforter, the Holy Spirit, we bow down before you, the eternal God, and we say, praise be to you. There is no God beside you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything else is just God's many and Lord's many. But you are the only true God, the only wise God, the only immortal, the only all-knowing, the only all-powerful God, and we praise you today. We also thank you for all that you have done for us, and we thank you for the written word that is now the spoken word in this hour. We pray that you will bless us in our time here together. Let your spirit take full charge of our hearts and minds. And Jesus, bring us into the right relationship with you today. Please forgive all of our sins. Anoint us with the Holy Spirit afresh. And Father, ready us for heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, there is no God like Jehovah. None. And a distinguishing feature about him is the fact that he is the creator who made all things. And you would have sung that song when you were a little child, and the little children today still sing it. All things bright and beautiful. All things great and small. All things wise and wonderful. Who? The Lord God made them all. Amen. So he's the creator who made all things. And another revelation in scripture about God is his amazing love for each of us. And the most known text in the Bible is John 3:16. Why don't you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. God really loves us. So rather than perish in hell's fire, my question to you today is, why don't you choose to escape to Christ? That is what my sermon title is about today, escaping to Christ. That's what I mean when I say escape for your life. You know, in this world, everything else and everyone else that is called God require their followers to make sacrifices for them or to them. Did you realize that? Even the old gods of the Bible, the false gods mentioned in the Bible, they require their followers to make sacrifices to them. But you may or may not have taken notice before. The God of the Bible, he sacrifices himself for us. Have you thought about that? We don't make any sacrifices to God or for God. He sacrificed himself for us. And I say, what amazing love. Amen? What amazing love. From my own experience, and by the word of God, I know that a person can only have joy as he or she escapes to Jesus. Is that true? So flee from sin. Flee to Jesus and escape for your life. You know, some time ago, a multinational group of us were student literature evangelists in Ontario, Canada. We were traveling southbound on Highway 404 in a three-car caravan there in Toronto. We were heading to a leadership summit and a fun day, which was a part of wrapping up our summer of literature evangelism. And Stages Thus did some over in Massachusetts. Yes, and we had some LEs here that came from Northern Caribbean University as well. So we are familiar with this. And no doubt some of you here, you've done literature evangelism too. Yes? So it was a good summer. One of the cars had made an unplanned detour. And in the process of catching up with us later in the journey, I spotted the car coming at great speed. Ahead and around a very long corner or bend in the freeway, I could see dead traffic ahead. I want to tell you that the driver of that car, Jim, really liked to speed. His malpractice, though, was about to catch up with him. All summer, he had driven one of those Oldsmobile, that, you know, very heavy cars, heavyweight car, you know. But on the day in question, he had switched cars and was instead driving his mother's lightweight car, Toyota Tercel. He did not seem well adjusted to the weight change dynamics. I was the lead driver in the caravan and was at a point where I could see the dead traffic ahead. Soon, Jim caught up with us and cruised right by, completely missing every signal that I was trying to get him to slow down. The clock of doom ticked away still. Frightening thoughts raced through my mind. Would I have to bury my four friends that were in that car? Could they escape for their lives? The dreadful moment approached, and Jim's speed must have been between 85 and 90 miles per hour. His buildup to that speed might have been gradual, but his discovery of deadly danger would be sudden. Jim suddenly saw the dead traffic ahead, but it was too late. He began to swerve that lightweight Toyota car. He swerved from left to right and from right to left. He skipped lanes dangerously and dodged one high-speed accident after another. His car bobbed and weaved in traffic with razor-thin escapes from rear-ending other vehicles. Time was running out, and so was space. Utter confusion and panic began to set in. Forced to watch all this, I braced myself for the worst. With no more room to maneuver, and in a desperate bid to avoid swiping out a whole line of about 8 cars, Jim made one last swerve to the right. He lost control. His car quickly mounted the high embankment. That car reeled to and fro like a drunkard. It seemed to be in a dance of death. Poor synthetic material gave way, and all human skills completely failed. The car flipped once, then twice. By the third flip, we knew it was over. Death was inevitable. No one in that car could escape for their life. In my car, the desperate and dazed front seat passenger saw death coming. Frantically, she sighed, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Now I want to pause to tell her that there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says demons tremble at his might. My personal problems disappear in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I get victory over my annoying sins in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is my provider. Today I can say Jesus is my protector. I find sweet escape to Christ. How about you? Escape for your life. You know, when we read our Bibles, we see that in the name of Jesus, the dead has been raised and diseases have been cured. In the name of Jesus, the cripple have walked, the dumb have spoken, and the deaf has heard the name of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, the blind has seen, and sinners have been made righteous. What do you say about that? I say amen and amen. Now, Jim's car had flipped 3 times. It was now airborne. I considered whether Jesus would save the day again one more time. At this time, I silently dialed heaven, and heaven's commander in chief came on the line. As in Psalm 81 and verse 10, Jesus spoke to me. He says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." So I opened my mouth and divinity spoke through me. "In the name of Jesus, car, stand still, stand still." And immediately that airborne car landed on its 4 wheels. It stood still. The car was folded up. It was totaled out. But God had spoken. The word from God's mouth escaped from my lips. "Car, stand still." At that moment, all 4 occupants walked away from that wreck virtually unscratched. Amen. They all escaped for their lives. God is amazing, and he loves us greatly. God answers prayers. And I want to remind somebody today that God cares. Amen? He does. He does. Now, the end of the great controversy between Christ and Satan is fast approaching. Ready or not, the whole world is headed to that very decisive moment. Those who truly love God are determined to keep holy his 10 commandments. They are standing up under the banner of Prince Emmanuel and be counted. On the other hand, even within God's remnant church, there are those who are openly or are secretly joining the ranks of Satan. As for you, I'm saying to you today, escape for your life. God has a special call for you, just like he did for Abraham. God called Abraham to leave his homeland in Ur of the Chaldees, that's in southern Iraq. He was to get away from his family of origin, from his home country, and from his relatives, and to go somewhere that God would show him. Lot, sensing his uncle's special call, determined to make Abraham's God He is God too. In time, God sent blessings upon them both. And God is blessing you here today, doesn't he? He sure does. But even in the midst of God's blessings, human beings can be very ungrateful. And such a story is brought to view in Genesis chapter 13. You see, there in Genesis 13, Abraham's and Lot's herds multiplied greatly. The land could no longer support both sets of herd men. There was not enough pasture. As a result, strife developed between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen. They had to separate. Lot was quick to make the first pick, as seen in Genesis 13, verses 8 through to 10. And in Genesis 13, 10 to 13, we read, it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even, it looked even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan and journeyed east. And they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Sodom had a reputation of being a city of exceedingly wicked sinners before the face of the Almighty. Sodom was a very proud and progressive city. It offered many worldly advantages. For example, their stock markets did well. The city-states were great centers of commerce. The Senate and the House of Representatives, as well as their White House, were all located there. They had top international universities, but the twin city-states of Sodom and Gomorrah were also renowned for licentiousness. They had a red light district. They paid large sums of money to anyone who could come up with new evils to gratify their perverted tastes. Human trafficking might have been as rampant as it is now, especially for sexual exploitation. Wealth abounded, giving rise to a host of idlers. The competition to outdo one another was intoxicating. Lot was aware of the reputation of the people of Sodom. But considering himself a missionary, he hoped to change the people there. The Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Soon, Lot was living in Sodom with his family. But Sodom was a doomed city. Before God destroys any person or place, he usually sends clear warning messages. Unbeknownst to Lot, Abraham was in the hills pleading with God for Lot, for Lot's family, for Lot's church, and for Lot's country. God disclosed to Abraham that he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Moreover, God told Abraham, as Abraham interceded, that if he could find 50 righteous people in all of Chemung County, he would spare the place. Only 50. And you know, Abraham interceded some more with God. God says, if I find... Abraham said, Lord, what about 45? God says, if I find 45, I will save the place. And Abraham began to scratch his head because Lot has been gone down there for several decades now. And in those days, the more children you had, the more prosperous you were. And Abraham said, Lord, if you find 40, the Lord says, if I find 40, I spare the place. In all of Elmira, West Elmira, and, you know, Horseheads. What do you call it? South? Southport. Pine City. Johnson City, Corning, Ithaca, Binghamton, Vestal. God says, if I can find 40 in all the cities of the plain, I'll spare the place. Abraham said, Lord, what if it lacks 10 and you find 30? God said, if I can find 30, even in the church, I will spare the place. It gets ugly. Abraham said, Lord, what if it lacks 10 and you find 20? God says, Abraham, I spare the place for 20's sake. And Abraham says, Lord, I am but dust, and I've taken it upon myself to speak with the Almighty. What if you find 10, Lord? The Lord says, Abraham, if I find 10, I spare the place. Can you imagine that in all of Elmira, even in the Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church of Lot's time, God couldn't find 10 righteous church members? Not even 10. In all the cities of the plain, 5 cities formed one government back there. Did you know that? It's not only Sodom and Gomorrah. Deuteronomy 29 verse 23 gives you a list there. Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboim, and Zoar. 5 cities which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath, says Deuteronomy 29, 23. Can you imagine that in this city and any other 4 cities nearby, as we were just doing, God cannot find 10 righteous people? How heartbroken Abraham must have felt. Those records bring me pain even to read them, though the events took place several millennia ago. Look with me now at the passage that was read for us. It says, and the men said unto Lot, Genesis 19:12, hast thou any here besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Verse 14, isn't it sad in verse 14? And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law. And I wonder why inspiration had it, which married his daughters. I think God knew that we would be living all over again in the age of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he wanted to make it clear that it was real male men that were marrying real female women. Even down where I lived, I went into Walmart and I see a person. And I could tell that person was born a man, but that person is going through a transition. That's the age in which we've come to live, the trans age. And here it made clear, Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place. Why? For the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They're waiting for the next episode of American Idol. So we can't worry about getting out of the city at this time. As a matter of fact, my oldest son was on the honor roll and he's set to graduate medical school next year. So I can't get out of the city now. You know, my yacht is down in the harbor and we're supposed to take this special cruise. It's not time to get out of the city now. The stock market is doing so well and I'm just about to become the next millionaire in town. We can't get out now. What are you saying? As a matter of fact, we have NORAD, the North American Defense System. We have fighter jets that at the issuing of the command from the commander-in-chief, they will just scramble to the skies and take out whoever wants to attack us. And so we are contemporizing what the reasoning was among Lot's sons-in-law. He seemed to be joking. They said to their father-in-law, are you kidding me? Who is going to destroy America the Beautiful? Land of the free, home of the brave. Who can do that? Destroy? It's not possible. As a matter of fact, in time past when the spat was between North Korea and the United States, the President of the United States, they have a bigger button sitting on my desk. Nuclear armed. Destroy what? And so, verse 15 says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise. So it's greater urgency now. Take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity, the destruction of the city. Get out. Verse 16 is what puzzled me. Even then, it says, and while he lingered, that's Lot. After all this, the man is still lingering. He wanted to get over to Elmira Savings Bank so he can make a big withdrawal. After all, the bank is going down in the fire. He wants to get out his Porsche, out of his special garage where he had those custom-made Porsche stored. He wanted to get to those before. It says he lingered. You know, he had gotten an end-of-year bonus, and he wanted to get that before he get out. He was waiting for that bonus. He lingered. It says, and while he lingered, the men, these are the angels, literally took hold of his hand and the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. From here I drew my sermon title. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. The message now is as urgent as it was back then. God is saying to you today, escape for your life. A universal destruction is coming. This time, God is going to leave the mercy seat for the last time. So get covered today by the blood of Jesus Christ. Get coverage now. Amen? Jesus is pleading our human cases in the investigative judgment up in heaven. That court session, that judgment scene has been going on since 1844. And the judgment session will soon be over. There'll be no more probationary period given to mankind. Now is the only time we have. The angel of mercy is about to fold her golden wings one last time. And Jesus himself says in Revelation 22, 11 and 12, he that is unjust, you know, just dikaios is the same as righteous. He that is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Then he says in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. But before God makes this final, irreversible declaration, he has sent us to proclaim the judgment hour message of the everlasting gospel. We proclaim this message to every ethnicity, to every tribe, to every language and people group to flee to Jesus. Escape for your life. Now I preach a judgment, our message, telling you that great flood was coming. And after 120 years of Holy Ghost power preaching, only 8 people in the whole world were saved. Only 8. Lot preached a merciful savior to the various ethnicities, language, and people groups in the city-states of Sodom and Gomorrah. Mrs. Lot would have heard that message. She knew it. But she only made it beyond the walls of the city. Because she looked back. She became a pillar of salt, the monument of a divided heart. A heart that wants to serve God and serve the world at the same time. It cannot happen. We cannot serve two masters. Isn't that what Jesus says? We cannot serve God and politicians, whether Republicans or Democrats or independents. Amen? We cannot serve God and politicians. We cannot serve God and tradition. We cannot serve God and our own opinions. We cannot serve God and money. Though Lot and two of his daughters were rescued from Sodom, the values and principles of Sodom survived them. And we still have it around today. The final judgment or message of the three angels of Revelation 14 have been going on longer than Lot's decades of preaching in Sodom. It has been going on longer than Noah's warnings of 120 years. The final judgment, our message, calls all human beings to escape to Christ and to escape for your life. It has been going out since 1844. That's over 175 years now. You can find those messages in Revelation 14, 6 to 12. There it is recorded, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them who dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the seas and the fountains of waters. There followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great nation, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And you get to verse 9 of Revelation 14. It says, and a third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worships the beast and his image and receives his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worships the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. And then verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Which side are you standing on today? Will you escape to Christ? Will you flee sin? Flee unrighteousness and escape for your life? As I close, I'll bring you something from the pen of inspiration, that which was written by God's prophet to the remnant. Ellen White writes, the efficiency of any church lies in the willingness of its members to learn. The willingness of its members to learn. Upon the love and harmonious action of church members depend their power for winning souls to Christ. Love and harmonious action, willingness to learn. Therefore, cherish love and confidence, for this will give you moral strength. Those who do not make the kingdom of God their first consideration soon lose God out of their experience, for he is the great worker. And he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, he says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Let the transforming energies of the Holy Spirit into the temple of the soul. Review and Herald, August 28, 1900. And I close with this one. The lay members of our churches can accomplish a work which as yet they have scarcely begun, the lay members. None should move into new places merely for the sake of worldly advantage. But where there is an opening to obtain a livelihood, let families that are well grounded in the truth enter. One or two families in a place to work as missionaries. They should feel a love for souls, a burden to labor for them, and should make it a study how to bring them into the truth. Did you catch that? Make it your study how to bring your neighbors, your co-workers, those whom you associate with. Make it a study how to bring them into the truth. And it says, this is what you can do. They can distribute our publications, get some of our books and tracts and pamphlets. They can distribute our publications, hold meetings in their homes. Let your homes become mission centers of Christ. Hold meeting in their homes. Become acquainted with their neighbors and invite them to come to these meetings that you're holding in your homes. Thus, they can let light shine. They can let their light shine in good works. Volume 8 of the testimony, pages 244 and 245. Friends, I want to say, God wants to use you. God wants to use me. And there are people right around us that need God. Don't you think? Then my encouragement to you is to embrace Vision 2020. Each one. Reach one for Christ. If this is your commitment, I'd like you to stand and sing the Adventist anthem with me. Hymn number 213. Lift up the trumpet, loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Amen. So, you know, Christ came the first time, and we are in a season now when the whole Western world is talking about Christ and when he came in Bethlehem. But we don't want to get hung up with when Christ came the first time, because we want to be ready for when he comes a second time. Amen. And we are much nearer to his second coming than his first coming. So we are more far removed from his first coming, and we are close to his second coming. So let's focus on his second coming and be ready, be prepared to meet our God. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to get others ready. Friends, let each of us ask God for the burden for souls. There are people around us who desperately need Jesus, and God wants us to be his agents of salvation. Let us pray. Our holy God and our Father in heaven, the great Almighty, our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and High Priest up in heaven, Holy Spirit, the great Comforter and Helper, the great Teacher, the third power of the Godhead who is here on earth, we praise you today. We thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for everything you have done for us, especially granting us the gift of salvation. We accept this gift today. Lord, we ask that you wash away and strip away and remove from us and purge from us every bit of sin and iniquity, every trace of selfishness. Let your righteousness stand forth in us. Father, thank you for this time. We are alive, and there are many who throughout the ages would have looked forward to live in this time. We have the privilege, Lord, so inspire us how to use this privilege well. And live out these last days in honor of the Christ, in honor of our coming King, in honor of the great God of heaven and earth and the universe. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. We praise you. We honor you. As we go to fellowship one with another, let us fellowship, Lord, remembering that today is high day, the Holy Sabbath. And Lord, when we go from this place today, may we go to our different places of abode, being renewed, be reinvigorated with energy to go do evangelism. Help us to walk in companionship with you, Lord, and help us to be the disciples you've called us to. Grant unto us safe traveling for those who will travel back now to Tioga County Church. Let your spirit go with us, Lord, and be with all the people from the community who come here to partake. Bless Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church Fellowship, and may this be a true lighthouse in this neighborhood, Lord, continuously. Bless all of us. And please, Lord, hear from heaven and answer us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.